Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
I'm just telling you that obedience is better than sacrifice. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That eliminates every other option or idea that you have. I'm going to come to church enough. I'm going to read my Bible enough. I'm going to pray enough. I'm going to do all these things. He said, you cannot substitute any of that for a mustard seed of faith.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Let's go into a recent Wednesday night sermon series with Pastor Rogers. This is By Faith, Part 1. Let's go into the message today.
We understand tonight that faith is at the heart of all that we are, all that we have in Christ, by Christ, from Christ, and through Christ. I want you to remember that Christ, that's Greek back there. If you have never read Greek before, you're looking at Greek. Christ is the terminology. It's not Jesus' last name. It is the description of the anointing or the anointed one. So whenever he's talking to us about Christ living on the inside of us, he's speaking of the anointing or the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking to a group of people here tonight that, by and large, you are already familiar with some of the Christian terminologies that are used. So I don't have to explain all of that, I hope, to you. But I want you to make sure you get this, because when we're talking about faith and we're talking about the faith that comes through Christ inside of our lives, it is the basis, the foundation, the root of all that it is. In this chapter of Hebrews 11, which is identified as the hall of faith, the hero's hall of faith, the fact is that you're going to find a number of individuals as examples throughout the book of Hebrews that are people just like you, just like me. We sometimes look at these Bible characters as being individuals who have supersonic faith, or somehow they were superheroes, supermen, you know, Wonder Woman, what all that kind of thing. But they were people just like us, like passions, like issues. In fact, they had problems just like all of us. In fact, some of them had real big problems, major problems, like things that you wouldn't ever connect with, like sibling rivalries, or the call of God upon your life to do something that nobody else is doing, or maybe that you've never had a baby and yet God sends a word to you and says, you're 99 and now you're prime. And see, you did exactly what Sarah did. And I've just cited three examples found in this particular chapter that let you know that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, let's get this out of the way tonight. How many of you, we just need to know, get ready for an answer. I don't need you to grunt at me or not make a response, because God's watching and he's the one taking the notes tonight. How many of you want to please God? Okay. Now, when you use that terminology, especially when you use certain terminologies today, they are not even politically correct at all. And pleasing God, to please somebody. Listen, for the most part, I've had people tell me when I've gone through marriage counseling with them, and you know, I'm talking to them about what the marriage ceremony is all about. I've had folks sit straight across the desk at me and say, listen, that thing about obey, that's out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can tell I already pushed a wonderful button here tonight. That one that wants to get up and run around a building and be all excited. I'm just telling you that obedience is better than sacrifice. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That eliminates every other option or idea that you have. I'm going to come to church enough. I'm going to read my Bible enough. I'm going to pray enough. I'm going to do all these things. He said, you cannot substitute any of that for a mustard seed of faith in order to please me. God, what can I do to get, you may not have looked at it like this, but you say, God, what can I do in order to get this blessing? He said, have faith. Okay, what else? have faith. Now, a lot of the ultra faith movements have had you putting faith in faith. But that's a problem. Because faith is, for us, some kind of an inanimate object. And faith always has an object in order to put its faith in. Are you hearing me? Whatever you put your faith in is the substantiation, according to the scripture right here, it is the substance of things hoped for, and it must become the evidence of things that you can't see. So if I'm going to put my faith in something, I don't need to put my faith in something that is not going to have the ability to bring to me or to heal me or to bring to me the blessings that I'm looking for or my future, my purpose. In fact, an eternal value. Your faith must have something of eternal value and consequence in order to rest upon. That's what gives you the confidence to believe God and to please God for anything that's in your future, for anything that's in your life. Because just because you have faith does not mean that everything is going to work out like you think it's going to need to work out. Read the book in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 gives us example after example on purpose of people that looked like they had it all going on, and they went through their go-through, and it didn't look like, in fact, they made decisions, some of them that were absolutely against God, and yet God counted it to them for righteousness because they had faith. Not because they did everything right, but they had faith in God. Are you with me tonight? So, all of these had problems, big problems, but when you study this particular chapter, which we're going to do in a real minute way, in a lot of ways, is that you're going to discover everything God did in their lives and everything God does in our lives is by faith and through faith. All of that is the same and true for us. Anything that we get or receive from God or for our lives is all coming by faith. Well, Pastor, I hear you repeating that all over. Well, let me get you something to write on because you need to write something down. Here we go. So the word faith is found 25 times in this particular chapter, defined basically the same way. This chapter reveals that the only thing limiting God's power in our lives is our lack of faith in Him. Now, Matthew 29 tells us this, that he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. This is just one example of multiple locations that lets us know that it requires faith for us to be able not only to please God, but to receive anything from God. Are you with me there? So let's make it plain. Okay, so everything God does in and through us is determined by our faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Verse number 6 tells us that very clearly. So in this passage, I'm going to give you three things here tonight as takeaways for you that are requirements for pleasing God. Before I give that to you, couple just a little prerequisites here. I want you to hear this, and I know we don't have all these different kinds of translations or versions of this, but I want you to hear different versions, translations of this particular passage of scripture. And here's what it says in one version, okay? This is more of a literal translation in some of these. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Two words, assurance and conviction. In a different one, now faith is the assurance of things we hope for, the proof of the reality of the things we cannot see. So it's not just evidence and substance, but it is actually the proof. And I'm going to show you what it is in just a minute, based upon what I believe this passage of scripture is saying to us. Okay? Here's what it says in the Amplified New Testament. It says this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. So your faith is not in some abstract object out there. It must be landing on something that is solid and time-tested and eternal. I'm about to shout. Here is from the Weiss translation. It says, now faith is the title deed, I love that, of things hoped for, the conviction of things which are not being seen. I love how that translates. Things that are not being seen. Doesn't mean it's not there. Because we understand the scripture tells us very clearly that the things, and you'll see this in Hebrews right here in 11, the things that are not seen are more real than the things that are actually seen. Because the things that are seen are made of the things that are not seen. And whenever you get that on the scene, then you're really seeing something. Here's another one. Faith means that we are certain of the things we hope for, convinced of the things we do not see. Faith is, here's another one. Faith is a hope that is absolutely certain that what it believes is true and that what is expected will come. Well, I'm just reading the scripture getting blessed here tonight. Here's another one from the Wycliffe translation. Faith is trust in the unseen. It is not trust in the unknown. It's already known. Now, whether you know it or not yet depends on whether or not you believe it. I'm going to read that again just because the devil hates it. Faith is trust in the unseen. It is not trust in the unknown. For we may know by faith what we cannot see with the eye. I love the way, and the Matthew Henry commentary, I don't normally make references to it, but it's one that I read behind all the time. So if you have a need of a commentary on the Bible, Matthew Henry is very good for laity to be able to read behind, plain language. So this is what he says by definition in this first verse of chapter 11. He says this, faith, I love this, faith and hope go together. And the same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. Faith is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. How do I know it's going to happen? Because he's promised it to us in the anointing that is in you. I think you missed that right there. That is in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul, oh my God, it gives the soul possession of those things. I don't think you heard what I said. Long before it gets in your physical hand, the soul has already taken possession of it by faith. I'm about to run right now. Did you get that in your spirit? If you're not seeing it in your soul and possessing it in your soul, you'll never have it in your hand. But if you begin to see your sons and daughters say by faith, and you have an assurance of it in your soul, it's just a matter of time that God will put it in your hand. Oh, Matthew Henry, he's dead and gone, but he's still leaving some good stuff, huh? Believers, he goes on to say with this, believers in the exercise of faith are filled, this is the extent. It's not just, okay, I got faith. He says, believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Christ dwells in the soul by faith, and the soul is filled with the fullness of God.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Join us March 15th at 6 p.m. here at Pace Assembly for Prophecy Files with guest Perry Stone. This event is free and open to the public.